thank the Lord for this day. We thank the Lord for the privilege of just being here on today. Thank this choir for leading us in our songs of praise and worship. We thank you just for being here. It just wouldn't be the same if you didn't show up, believe me. And we thank God for everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly. It may seem like life is out of control, but God is still in control. Amen. I want to share with you out of the book of Genesis. We'll be leaning over the first three chapters, looking, focusing in more on chapter 3, 1 through 19 in that text. One reason why I was thinking about Dr. Cockrum coming and preaching is because he is a seasoned saint. And I had thought about some younger pastors, and I said, you know, I think they would appreciate a seasoned saint to come in and to give some words of wisdom. And then I knew that because he was a seasoned saint with some wisdom, he wouldn't keep you here all day either. And I figured you would appreciate that as well. Amen. I just want to focus my mind around a theme. Genesis chapter 3, 9 through 10. In the NIV version, it reads this way: But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." Amen. Just want to use as a thought today. Focus our mind and attention. You don't have to hide anymore. You don't have to hide anymore. Everything has a beginning. It has an origin. It has a starting point, if you will. In fact, we believe in beginnings. We believe that beginnings are important because we celebrate parties, we celebrate birthdays, and we have parties, we give gifts. And even some people on their birthdays, they'll celebrate more than one day. Amen. They'll take up a whole week, a whole weekend, a whole week. And some folk even celebrate the whole month. And you know that they are happy just to be in the place. Amen. We celebrate our anniversaries and commemorate the number of years that we've been married and the years of service at certain jobs and in certain organizations. And I believe we place so much of an importance on new beginnings because, as the elders say, the way you start is the way you'll finish. Amen. The thought is, if you start off wrong, don't be surprised if you end up wrong as well. And this conventional wisdom is applied widely to life because the private sector of society has put in place systems that encourage not educating black children, and at the same time, they're preparing them for a future with the penal system. And it's called the school-to-prison pipeline. Because the private sector knows that if children don't have a promising start for their future in education, then the likelihood of falling through the cracks increases. And the right beginning, you'll find out, is very important. They know this even in the scientific world as they apply Sir Isaac Newton's third law of motion that has to do with action and reaction. Newton's law says for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. It's the initial action that causes a reaction and thereby gets you to a new beginning. That's why, brothers and sisters, if you want something different, then you have to do something different. If you want more in life, you gotta give more in life, because how you start will determine how you finish. Even in philosophy and theology and religion, the idea of new beginnings and origin can be seen to answer the question, how did we get here? Because St. Thomas Aquinas, he called it the first cause. That means that there had to be some self-sustaining, self-containing being that was the cause for everything else to come into being. For those who adhere to the Big Bang Theory that says that the world was created by some big explosion in space, first cause wouldn't argue that point they would just say that God was the thing that caused the explosion to begin with. And the scripture supports this idea because in the first chapter, the first verse, the first sentence in the first book of the Bible, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And the Bible testifies that everything that God created was good. He created night and day, and it was good. He created all sorts of vegetation, and it was good. He created the swarmy things in the water. He created all of the fowls of the air. He created all the animals that walked on the land. And the Bible says that when he created it, it was good. But God wasn't finished yet. After God created all these things, he spoke to himself as the counsel of God, giving a preeminent glimpse into what would be revealed as the triune God, and said, "Let us make humanity in our image like us and have dominion over all that we created." So God created humanity in God's own image and made them both male and female. And everything that God made in the beginning was good. God, he even created a garden in the middle of Eden, the paradise he created for humanity to care for and to live in. And in the middle of the garden, he created a tree of life and the tree of knowledge of both good and evil. God told Adam that he and Eve, they could eat from any vegetation, any tree that they wanted to eat from in the garden, except for the tree of knowledge of both good and evil. For when you eat from that tree, on that day you shall surely die. They started off good, but then something happened to get them off track. And I want to know today, have you ever started off well, but something came along to get you off track? Or am I just in here all by myself? Can I suggest to you today that it may be true in some instances that if you start off wrong, you'll end up wrong. But there's another saying that gives hope to those who started off wrong, and that is, it's not how you start that matters, but it's how you finish. For the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And sinning simply means that you've fallen short of the goal. How many of you have sinned because you fell short? How many of you have sinned because you fell short? Well, maybe you didn't raise your hand because you didn't understand the question, or you didn't hear what I said, or maybe you didn't raise your hand because you thought you were the only one. But you're in the right place, because all means all. There's none righteous, no, not one. We've been born into sin, shaped into iniquity, but there's hope, because the scripture says the wages of sin is death. But just because you started off wrong don't mean you have to stay wrong, because the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Those who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Come to Jesus while you have time. Come to Jesus, make up your mind. And I know some of you are saying that you already called on them, but it didn't seem to make much of a difference in your life. Well, you can't call on them unless you first put your trust in him. One is just words, but the other is a life commitment. You can't effectively call on him and then turn around and try to fix yourself. You can't turn your cares over to the Lord, but then get impatient and try to take it all back again. You can't get in some trouble and ask God to intervene, and after the trouble is over, you go right back to business as usual. Well, if it doesn't work like that, for whatever God delivers you from, you don't have to go back to. Now, you don't have to say amen too loud, because in order to go back, you really first got to leave whatever is holding you down to begin with. And some people never leave what's holding them down, so they ain't got to worry about ever coming back. And they'll still show up to church and praise the Lord like everything is all right. I ain't talking about you, I'm just talking about myself. And here begins the instruction to what would be known as the origins of sin. And the same way that sin traps us and entices us today is the same way that sin trapped and enticed Adam and Eve in paradise. What made paradise perfect wasn't because what was in Eden, but rather because of the relationship that Adam and Eve had with God. Chapter 3 of Genesis introduces a new character that was different than the other creatures in the garden. It was a talking snake that was different than the other wild animals that God created that confronted Eve and asked her a question. Did God really say that you couldn't eat from any of the trees in the garden? Well, the Bible says that God is not the orchestrator of chaos and disorder. But we find even in Eden in the place that God made everything good, there was the potential for evil to exist. If the potential of evil to exist was found in Eden, then there's no need to be surprised when evil pops its head up in other holy places. Let me remind you that the scripture says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Therefore, wherever you go, the potential of sin shows up. Somebody said, it's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And since God is not the God of confusion, I want to point out today that what God made was completely good, but sin entered into the world because of humanity's abuse of their free will. You see, when God gave them a choice, either to obey or disobey, God also gave them free will to either follow him or not. Well, somebody may ask the question, why would God even give us the opportunity to sin by giving us the choice to begin with? Well, choice is rather an extension of God's love. Jesus told his disciples, if you love me, then you will keep my commandments. If you love me, I ain't got to make you do it, for the Bible says that love is not burdensome. If you love me, you'll do it not to get something from me. You'll do it because you recognize I've already given you all that you already need. Love is an extension of your free will, is an extension of God's love. And if God got to make you act right, you don't love God no way. You're just doing it because somebody made you do it. And you know how you are when folks make you do stuff that you really don't want to do. And so soon as they turn their back, what do? Do what you wanted to do to begin with. Amen, somebody. If they'll put some birds in here, I'll preach one of them birds happy. That they put some squirrels in here, I'll make one of them shout. I don't care if you shout or not. I know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. We don't always talk about sin, but that's what's really got you bound up to begin with. It wasn't the way you was thinking. It wasn't some bad choice. You got sin in your life, and unless you confront what's holding you down, you can never get free from it. And God said, let us make them in our image so they can be like us and have dominion over all of creation. And like God, you have a level of sovereignty and control, either to do as you should or merely as you want to do. And sometimes the two desires are not compatible. But when you choose wrong, there's consequences for your action. God gave us some power, but God has all power. And because God is not the orchestrator of confusion and chaos, instead of asking somebody else what God said, the serpent should have turned around and asked God himself. But the serpent didn't ask God. He didn't even ask Adam the question who God has spoken to. He asked Eve, who may have been present with Adam when God was speaking, but she was not the one to be held accountable. You see, I was always told to go to the head and not to the help. I was told it's better to deal with the decision makers than try to find out answers because they're the ones to hold accountable. I was given the good advice that handlers can't help you, but the head can. And if you really want to know what someone said, don't go to someone with secondhand, third-hand knowledge. Go to the head and hear it from the head yourself. And a lot of confusion happened because we listened to gossip about what somebody else said without going to find out the source yourself. But the other issue is the serpent wasn't really trying to find out the truth. He was just trying to start some mess and act like he was innocent in the process.
Be careful of people who bring you mess and then they don't even have any skin in the game. They ask you questions at the wrong time. They ask you questions that they can't even answer themselves. And if you ever told them the right answer, they couldn't even understand it if you gave it to them. For the question that was asked by the serpent didn't even have anything to do with the serpent. God didn't say nothing that had to do with the serpent. He was talking to Adam and Eve. And God ain't gonna give you information that you can't do nothing with. God ain't wasteful like we are. Sometimes you just gotta tell people, stop meddling, mind your business, keep it moving, because you come as friends or even like family, but they're really up to no good. Here's the other trap that Eve fell into, and that was she tried to answer a question with authority that she didn't even know the answer to fully herself. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, the best answer you can give is, I don't know. Because when you say, I don't know, it may make the other person feel big because they know something you don't know, but the person who knows everything can't learn anything. And if you're around somebody that knows everything about everything, you might as well go somewhere else because you can't tell them nothing. And when Eve answered the serpent about eating from the tree, she added that they couldn't even eat it or even touch it, or they would surely die. Be careful of people who always want to exaggerate the truth, because an exaggeration can easily end up being nothing but a lie. God didn't say you couldn't touch it. God said not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Be careful of people that want to put more on you than God will even put on you, and then they'll use the Bible and manipulate you. Here's the climax of the story. When the serpent tells the woman that he knows more about the subject than even God, for the serpent said that even though God said you would die, the serpent said you won't surely die. There are people around here with serpent-like characteristics. They may be well-spoken, come with a seemingly sincere and harmless conversation, but then they try to be the authority on the very thing that they're asking you about. It always blows my mind when I run into people and they ask me Bible questions and I give them an answer that they don't like, an answer they don't agree with, and then they want to turn around and argue with me. I didn't come to you, you came to me. And if you already had the answer to begin with, why are we even having this conversation? That's because the question was never about finding an answer to begin with. It was about them finding an opening to push their own agenda. Be careful of the snakes in your garden. You do have some snakes in your garden, you know, because for some reason they like to live around fertile ground that'll attract some easy, unexpected prey. And the serpent conned Eve into believing that he knew more than God. And if you believe that someone or something else knows more than God does, then that person, that thing who you listened to, just became your God. Eve didn't know, but she just abandoned the truth for a lie. She ate the fruit that God said not to eat. That is the picture of what sin looks like in our lives when the manifestation of our heart begins to really materialize. We stop listening to God. We begin to listen to someone or something else. We abandon the truth for a lie. We end up doing not what we should do, but we end up doing what we really wanted to do all along. But sin doesn't just stop there. For there is no real isolative sin. There's no real secret sin. For all sin have a ripple effect, and misery loves company. For Eve gave some of that befitting fruit to Adam to eat as well. Friends that support you in doing the wrong thing are no friends at all. Friends that see you upset and they push you into a fight, they're no friends at all. Friends to see you turn down somebody else and they join in and push you out front and laugh hard at your jokes, they're no friends at all. Friends that cause you to do the wrong thing and then laugh with you about it, they're no friends at all. Some of us need to get rid of some folk around us that we call friends, because they're not really friends at all. They dirty, and they want you to be dirty just like them. And if they get in some trouble, don't think they gonna hold it themselves. They gonna tell on you. They gonna tell on everybody else. They gonna tell on their mama, because they're not friends at all. But thank God that God has given us a conscience in order to pull us back in line. Because after Eve and Adam ate from the tree that God told them not to eat from, they felt the change, and they tried to cover themselves up. Thank God for a conscience that allows us to know when we've done wrong, and we begin to try to cover up the wrong that we do. Thank God that the Lord lets us know when we're off beat. You ain't got to ask nobody if you messed up. You got a conscience on the inside if it hadn't been damaged, that'll let you know something's off. Sometimes we just don't listen to it. And even when the Lord tells us we on the wrong mark, we done something wrong, sometimes we'll make a bad situation worse trying to fix it ourselves. And when they recognize they had some faulty areas, they had some stuff that wasn't the right size, they had some things to be ashamed of, the Bible said they began to cover themselves up. They used some little fig trees. You know, I wonder if they was just trying to camouflage themselves. They was trying to fit in the background. They was trying to be like God had made everything else to be. But you ain't got to be like nobody else. You ain't got to be like nothing else. You just be who God made you to be, because the Bible said that he made you in his likeness and his image. They tried cover themselves up. They didn't want to be seen by nobody. They were trying to hide all of their deformities. And brothers and sisters, when we mess up, we try to cover up too. We'll dress up. We'll make up. We'll laugh when ain't nothing funny. We'll tell people everything is all right. And I remember when I was much younger and was talking to a pastor, and he pointed out a tree to me that was in full bloom, but the inside had a big hole in it and was black. And he asked me the question, do you know the sermon in that tree? I said, yeah, I don't know the sermon in that tree. He said, look at the tree. The tree is all in bloom, but on the inside is dead. And some people are just like that tree. They look pretty on the outside, but on the inside, they're dead as can be. And we need to stop acting like pretty dead trees that's pretty on the outside and dead on the inside. But that's what sin will do to you. It'll make you even lie to yourself by the way you present yourself. Then the Bible says that God was walking in the cool of the day, and Adam and Eve heard the Lord, so they hid from God. And God called out to them. And Adam called, and he said, we was hiding from you because we were ashamed. And I'm so thankful that no matter how bad you get, no matter how low you get, no matter what you done, the Lord keeps right on calling for you. The Lord keeps on looking for you. The Lord keeps on presenting his angels to you. It wasn't they who was seeking God, but it was God who was seeking they. And sometimes sin will make you so ashamed that you don't even want to come back into the house of the Lord. But you do remember we talked about all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You in the right place. You can't let shame and sin keeping you from your help. You need to go right back to the Lord so he can help you and pick you up. I'm glad that Adam had enough sense to have some consciousness about the wrong he did. And I'm glad when the Lord called out, he had enough sense to answer. You can't keep on ignoring when the Lord is trying to speak to you. It won't get any better. And the Lord said, who told you you was naked? Did you eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil? You may be able to hide from one another. You may be able to hide from me. You may be able to hide to your close from your closest friends. You may be able to hide from your mama and your daddy. But one person you can't hide from is God. There ain't enough camouflage in the world. If you ascend up into heaven, the Lord is there. If you go down to the depths of hell, the Lord's already there. If you go up to the heights of the highest, God's already there. You can't hide from God. It can't get so dark that God can't see you, because even in his darkest time, light, darkness is as light unto God. God saw. And Adam didn't have to act like he was something that he wasn't. Who told you that you was naked? Did you disobey me and eat from the tree that I told you not to eat? Another thing that sin does, and I really think this is one of the biggest things that sin does, because if you can't never face it, you got a problem, you can never turn that problem over to the Lord. Sin will make you think that it's really everybody's fault but yours. Adam said, it wasn't me. It was the woman you gave me. Eve said, it wasn't me. It was the serpent that tricked me. Sin to make you think that everybody else is at fault but you. The problem wasn't that they made a mistake. The problem wasn't that they sinned against God. The problem is they couldn't confess the wrong that they did. The Bible says, confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you shall be saved. They didn't get in trouble because they did what they wanted to do. They got in trouble because they couldn't confess to God their sins. And let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. We'll bring people in front of the church and let them say and give a testimony, talk about what they did wrong and how they want to come back to the Lord. David said, the only one I sinned against is God. Sometimes you need to quit confessing to folk, trying to get permission for them to forgive you, and all you really need to do is get right with God. Because when you get right with God, you ain't got to keep trying to convince people that you're sorry. They'll begin to see the change in your life that says you're sorry indeed. And just like you got some help, they can go get some help. You ain't got to confess your sins to everybody, but you need to confess all your sins unto the Lord. You don't have to hide anymore. You ain't got to cover up anymore. You ain't got to try to figure it out all by yourself. You ain't got to go to somebody and ask for some advice. But I would recommend, for those that have a difficulty facing that they got some of their own problems, I do recommend that you go get a counselor. Because there are some things that you may not be able to say to other people, but you need to say it. You need to go get a counselor so that you can start learning how to be open and honest. With somebody who don't care, somebody that just really wants to get paid, that can give you some suggestions that you should probably suggest. But let me also suggest to you today that you don't just need a counselor. What you really need in your life is the counselor. You need the Holy Spirit to start guiding and directing you. When ain't nobody in your ear to tell you from right from wrong, you need that God in you to remind you how you got in this situation to begin with, so you don't go and repeat it again. You need the Holy Spirit in your mind to tell you, give you the words to say that people that are trying to break you down won't let you forget what you did in the past. If God forgave you, you're forgiven indeed. You don't just need a counselor. You absolutely need the counselor. And the truth be told, some of us can't afford to go see a counselor, but the counselor comes when you accept Jesus Christ into your life. Some folk, that's the only counselor that ever helped them in their life, because there was nobody, there was no way, there was no how, but Jesus showed up right in the nick of time. When you can't go to a counselor, I got the counselor that'll never leave you or forsake you. He'll pick you up when you fall down. He'll polish you up when you're messed up. He'll help you when everybody else forsakes you. And if you got God on your side, you don't need nobody else, but you'll never know it until you triumph for yourself. I'm not just talking about lip service. I'm talking about the truth. You'll never know it until you triumph. You'll never know it until you triumph. You can't fix yourself. And if the potential of evil was there in the garden,
don't you think that it won't get to you as well? Don't ever be surprised what you would do, because you would do anything. Amen. If not for the grace of God, there goes I. Sin may be a hindrance, but sin don't have to be the end of your story. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The Lord made a way for us somehow. We open up the doors of the church today that you may receive this Jesus Christ in your life. The church can't save you. The water can't save you. Your good behavior, whatever that is, can't save you.